Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated July 6th, 2018. We'll start today's reading on the front page. Everyone knows everyone. Houseboaters find community away from home on Lake Shelbyville. When Craig and Crystal Kowalski of Effingham head out for an overnight trip on Lake Shelbyville, they'll bring all the comforts of home with them. The Kowalskis can anchor in a secluded cove and spend the night on their 80-foot-long Somerset houseboat, Love and Life, with its full-size kitchen, 2 full-size bathrooms, and 4 bedrooms. They are often accompanied by family and friends on these boat trips to the great outdoors, and the boating also provides opportunities for fishing. It's like camping, but not as much work, said Craig Kowalski, who docks at Lithia Springs Marina in Shelbyville. Houseboats such as the one owned by the Kowalskis have long been a popular option across North America and in Europe for extended vacations, group getaways, and living spaces for those seeking adventure and flexibility. A robust rental industry draws thousands each year to explore popular destinations such as Lake Powell on the Colorado River, Shasta Lake in Northern California, and Dale Hollow on the border of Kentucky and Tennessee. Some houseboats are similar to RVs on the water, while others can offer luxurious options such as hot tubs, water slides, and multiple decks. No matter the style of boat, the 11,000-acre surface area of Lake Shelbyville offers plenty of room to explore. The lake stretches from Shelbyville along Illinois 16, northeast by Findlay to Sullivan along Illinois 121. You can go for a long ride before you get to the end and have to turn back, said Gail Ritter, a retiree from Bourbonnais, who has had a houseboat at Lithia Springs with her husband Stan since 2000. Many boaters find home bases at Findlay Marina, Sullivan Marina and Campground, and at Lithia Springs, where Kowalski estimated that 20% of the marina's 365 boat slips are used by houseboats. The Ritter's current boat, Absolute Pleasure, is a 64-foot-long Somerset houseboat with 2 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and satellite television. The two have spent a lot of time over the years on Lake Shelbyville with their son Scott, who also has a houseboat there, and his 2 daughters, who have grown up on the water while boating and swimming. This is probably where we get together and have the most fun, Gail Ritter said. She added that keeping the houseboat cleaned and maintained is hard work, but is well worth the effort. Houseboaters go out on the open water from approximately late spring to early fall at Lake Shelbyville, but some do spend time on board in their marina boat slips during the winter. Kowalski said he enjoys all seasons at the lake, including the warm water in the summer and the beautiful foliage in the fall. Gail Ritter said her favorite time of year at Lake Shelbyville is the 4th of July, when the family's houseboat provides a comfortable vantage point for viewing the annual fireworks display at the Dam West Recreation Area. A lot of houseboats go out and anchor out to watch the fireworks from Shelbyville, she said. While there at Lake Shelbyville, many houseboaters check out local attractions and frequent nearby businesses. Ritter said that she and her husband enjoy purchasing supplies from Wade's Quality Meats in Shelbyville and dining with friends at restaurants such as the Tailwind Steakhouse in Findlay. Kowalski said he enjoys golfing at Eagle Creek a golf course in Findlay and other courses in the area. He said he also likes being able to dock for a meal at the North End Pub and Grill in Sullivan and at the Subway at Lithia Springs Marina. Freddie Fry, director of Shelby County Tourism, said local businesses benefit from the hikers, swimmers, anglers, day boaters, and other visitors that the lake draws, particularly those who have extended stays on houseboats. They are contributing to the economy in a large way because they are staying overnight. They are coming into the community to do their shopping, dine at restaurants, and visit attractions, Fry said. She said that those who rent houseboats often arrive the day before their rentals start and stay at local motels. At Lithia, Kowalski has worked in, as the parts service and sales manager since 2010. After having owned Jubilee Foods in Effingham, Kowalski said he has enjoyed this new second career, where he gets to ride a golf cart to work during the day and visit with friends at the marina in the evening. Everyone knows everyone because they are their neighbors. It is more or less a boating neighborhood, Kowalski said. Ritter said the marina is a seasonal home to community of boaters that socialize with each other and look out for each other and their boats. She said being in dock combines the comforts of home, such as plugging into the electricity to run air conditioning, with the scenic backdrop of the lake. We just love coming down here, Ritter said, because it's a fun place to be and a fun place to relax. Lake Shelbyville Marinas. Houseboaters and other pleasure boaters use these three marinas at Lake Shelbyville. The Lithia Springs Marina, 7.2 miles east of Shelbyville, is located at the south end of the lake within the Lithia Springs Recreation Area. Findlay Marina is located in the mid-lake area, 4 miles east of Findlay. Sullivan Marina and Campground is located at the north end of the lake, 3.2 miles south of Sullivan. On page A3, local and state news, man denies violating offender registration. Decatur. A Decatur man pleaded not guilty Thursday to a charge he violated sex offender registration laws by making an unannounced visit to his child's school to attend an after-hours event. The alleged offense dates to January 25th at Parsons Elementary School, and registered sex offender Benjamin D. Mattingly, 29, was arrested February 1st after a series of appearances in Macon County Circuit Court while he was given time to find a lawyer. He appeared before the Judge Phoebe Bowers on Thursday with his attorney, Philip Tibbs, and waived a preliminary hearing before being arraigned and entering his plea. The case was set for a pretrial hearing August 6th before Judge Thomas Griffith. A sworn affidavit from Decatur Police Detective Charles Hendricks said Mattingly is subject to sex offender registration rules after being convicted in 2007 of the aggravated criminal sex abuse of a victim under the age of 13. He had been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Sex offender registration laws state offenders must not come within 500 feet of a school unless they are attending a meeting about their own child and notify school administration of their presence. Hendricks said he was tipped off about Mattingly's school visit and found he had spent an hour at the school between 5:30 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. Hendricks said the principal was unaware of Mattingly's criminal history. Mattingly told police that he was invited to the event by a relative who worked at the school and thought the relative had gotten permission from the principal, according to the affidavit. The Decatur Public School District in February released a statement about the incident, saying that officials were aware of parent concerns at the school and followed the appropriate protocol to address the situation. A district spokeswoman previously declined to elaborate further. In a similar case that came before the court May 7th, registered sex offender Michael J. Valentine, 27, pleaded guilty to making repeated unannounced visits to Mount Zion Grade School as well as failing to register change of address and was sentenced to 2 years in prison. Police probe shootings. One man killed, another injured in separate incidents. Decatur. Detectives were working round the clock Thursday to solve the murder of one man by gunfire in Decatur and the serious wounding of a second by gunfire in separate incidents. Detective Sergeant Steve Carroll said both incidents happened just after midnight but don't appear to be connected. The man who died was a 29-year-old from Danville and was found shot to death in the cab of a U-Haul truck in the 500 block of West Packard Street. He'd just come over here to help somebody move from Danville to Decatur and had spent a couple of days with them, said Carroll. Now we're trying to trace his movements. In the second case, a 17-year-old male was taken to a local hospital by private vehicle with a gunshot wound to the head that Carroll described as life-threatening. Carroll said it took police several hours to work out the man's identity because no family members were immediately present to whom they could speak. He said detectives had leads and were working to figure out the circumstances of the shooting. He said both violent incidents prompted calling in extra manpower to work the cases, and detectives were pulled from days off and vacations to help out. I had half the detectives bureau in here last night, early Thursday, and half that didn't get called in had to show up later this morning, Thursday, to take over. The detective said police were looking for help with both cases, and anyone with information should contact the police department at 217-424-2711. That's 424-2711. The detective division at 217-424-2734. That's 424-2734. Or can call Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. That's 423-8477. Pink-hoofed porker on the loose. Delavan, this little pig should have stayed home. Molly, a black and white pot-bellied pig with painted pink hooves, went on the lam Tuesday near Delavan in Caswell County, said her owner, Adrian Alexander. I adopted her last week for a companion for my other pig. She was having a hard time adjusting and ran away. I think she's trying to find her old home, which is about 2 miles away, said Alexander of rural Delavan, about 60 miles northwest of Decatur. She said Molly is likely roaming near Delavan or San Jose. Officials with Tazewell County Animal Control said Molly was previously owned by an officer at the agency. She is estimated to weigh at least 160 pounds. She's going to be hard to move because of her size. Animal Control would have to assist if she's found, said Alexander. Animal Control officials said the pig is not super fond of strangers and could bite if startled. Anyone who spies a hog should contact Tazewell County Animal Control at 309-925-3370. That's area code 309-925-3370. If it is after 4 p.m., contact the Tazewell County Sheriff's Department through the non-emergency number of area code 309-346-4141, area code 309-346-4141. Tazewell County Police Sergeant Larry Steele said this runaway case is the first in his 21 years on the force. We haven't had any calls about a loose pig recently, and I don't think people should be afraid if they run into it. Just call it in and let us know where you saw it, said Steele. President in same boat with students. Normal. Heartland Community College's new president, Keith Corneal, has a message for students who are nervous about starting college. We're in the same boat, Corneal told students he met with while at Towanda's 4th of July parade. We can help each other to get through it. Monday was Corneal's first official day on the job at Heartland, which is based in Normal but has a satellite facilities in Pontiac and Lincoln. The district stretches in a crescent shape from Livingston County to Logan County. Corneal came to Heartland from Madison Area Technical College in Wisconsin, where he worked for 18 years. Most recently as Executive Vice President, Chief Student Services Officer. He has worked in higher education for 32 years. He succeeded Rob Widmer, who has retired to become Heartland's fourth president. I'm feeling some anxiety, the same anxiety that they're feeling, said Corneal, who is still unpacking and hanging pictures in his new office. I'm relying on people to help me. That's the same thing our staff will do for students. Resting in one corner of his office is a baseball bat that has accompanied him through various jobs since he received it while at Indiana University Southeast, across the Ohio River from Louisville, Kentucky. It was given to him by a student he helped whose father made Louisville Slugger bats. The name of his favorite team, the Chicago Cubs, is carved into the barrel of the bat. It is stamped with his name and says, Most Valuable Player. Corneal said it's a reminder of the importance of helping students and making a difference. It helps me to remember what we're really about here, he said. He said he's excited about a new facility in Lincoln, noting it is adding programs to meet community needs, a strategy also important at Pontiac and the main campus, too. When Cornell says students, he wants people to know it doesn't just mean the traditional student right out of high school. It also means those who are starting college later or who are looking for a particular course or program to advance in their job, he said. The immediate focus for Heartland is to get students to sign up for fall semester, which begins August 20th. He is an Illinois native, grew up in Glen Ellyn, and has a sister who lives in Decatur. His base salary is $220,000. Chinese money used as a ruse in robbery. Decatur police arrested a 28-year-old man Tuesday after they said he forcefully took $30 from a former co-worker who was attempting to collect $70 he owed her. The charges date to 11 p.m. June 15th, according to a sworn affidavit signed by a Decatur police officer. The 67-year-old victim told police she met her former co-worker, whom she knew by a nickname, in the 3700 block of North Portage Place. He asked her to make change for a $100 bill, but she noticed too late that the money he was holding was red, according to the affidavit. They struggled and she fell to the ground, hitting her head. He took the money she had been holding and left on foot, the woman told police. Police saw fresh bruises on the woman, the affidavit said, and her adult son said he saw the incident. She gave officers Chinese currency that she said the suspect dropped. Police identified the man from a phone number and Facebook profile picture she provided. The man was arrested Tuesday on preliminary charges of aggravated battery and robbery. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Moroa welcomes new cafe. The fence post will offer a place to eat, socialize. Moroa. Residents in Moroa have been waiting for several months for a new downtown eatery where they can continue to gather, share stories, and satisfy their appetites. Now their patience is about to be rewarded. The Fence Post Cafe will open Monday, July 9th at 119 West Main Street in downtown Moroa. The new residence location once housed the Uptown Cafe and the Main Street Diner, a gathering place for much of Moroa. The doors will be open from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m., serving breakfast and lunch only. It has always been a cafe, said Sheila Hornickel, a member of the Moroa Township Community Cafe Board Subcommittee, which was tasked with finding a new tenant. But it is a community center, too. After Uptown Cafe closed a few months ago, the word was put out by the board that it was looking for a new yet similar restaurant. Experienced restaurateurs Jim and Becky Wooters, often owners of the Bethany Cafe, answered the call. They needed a cafe, so we gave them one, Becky Wooters said. Moroa Mayor Aaron Meter said that the community is happy to have its downtown gathering place reopen. It's been empty since November, and the town is definitely ready to have a breakfast served to them again, Meter said. The menu for their new restaurant will be similar to the Bethany Cafe lineup. Their most popular dishes include horseshoes and specialty meals such as a fried chicken and double cheeseburger. Senior meals, part of the Illinois Department on Aging Nutrition Program, will again be served at the cafe, and staff will focus on a variety of healthy choices. Senior meals are designated to nourish socialization as well. When they come in here, they are sitting with people their own age, going through the same trials and turbulences, Jim Wooter said. It gives them good socialization and a lot of seniors don't get. Customers interested in receiving a senior meal may register at the restaurant. Another Fence Post Cafe specialty will be the Mighty Trojan Combos, with hearty portions including a half-pound cheeseburger and a horseshoe with extra portions. Mighty Trojan Combos are designed for bigger appetites, serving large portions with special and extra toppings. They are going to be huge combos, Becky Wooter said. They should leave with a bellyache, Jim Wooter said. While the Fence Post opening was delayed a few weeks as the Wooters waited for supplies, we didn't have any plates, Becky Wooters said. Hornickel said she hopes the restaurant will give the downtown area a boost. For the farmers and seniors, it gives them a place to gather, she said. Senior meals are one of the top priorities for the board and the community, and the city is pleased. The Wooters are now serving in Moroa, Hornickel said. They bring a lot of experience to the table, Hornickel said. Their breakfast and lunch is excellent. Decatur Restaurant plans second location. Fall off the bone to open in new space on El Dorado soon. A Decatur barbecue restaurant is opening a second location with an expanded menu and more space for diners. Fall off the bone is planning a location at 973 East El Dorado Street, owner Carl Jones said. He also plans to maintain the original restaurant at 571 North Water Street, which opened 3 years ago. Jones says he plans to open shortly after he receives the permit from the Macon County Health Department. The new restaurant previously housed the number one kitchen, which closed 2 years ago. The previous signage is still in place, but should be removed before the new restaurant opens. We have little things to change up the place. The logos for the new restaurant are already posted with the business's signature bright red and yellow colors. The official location has limited seating. In contrast, the El Dorado Street restaurant is on a busy thoroughfare and will have more room with a seating area that can serve nearly 60 people at a time. The new location will continue to offer soul food similar to the original restaurant. This one will have more food, Jones said. An additional variety of smoked meat will be available as well as an expanded menu for children. Jones is originally from the Caribbean. His specialties include jerk chicken with authentic seasoning made from scratch. Later, the menu expanded to include soul food with a Caribbean taste. Erica Anderson is a soul food cook with Fall Off the Bone. She added yams, fried chicken, greens, and other popular dishes to the menu. The original restaurant continues to be a successful establishment, and Jones said he may expand even more. Look for more restaurants in Decatur, he said. In area briefs, man arrested months after police chase. 9 months after he sped away from Decatur police on a motorcycle, a 28-year-old man was arrested on a preliminary charge of felony aggravated fleeing and eluding. A sworn police affidavit said the man was involved in a domestic violence incident on October 17th and left the scene on a blue high-performance motorcycle. A responding police officer found the man on his motorcycle stopped at a red light at Mound Road and North Water Street, the affidavit said. The officer turned on his emergency lights, exited his vehicle, and approached the motorcycle. The man then drove off through the red light. The officer pursued, the affidavit said, and speeds reached higher than 70 miles per hour in the 100 block of West Mound, which has a speed limit of 30 miles an hour. The officer watched the man speed through a red light at West Mound and North MacArthur Road and decided to end the pursuit for safety reasons, the affidavit said. The woman who reported the domestic violence incident later identified the man as her boyfriend of 9 months, the affidavit said. The man was arrested early Thursday morning and remained in Macon County Jail in lieu of $25,000 bond. The affidavit said his driver's license had been revoked since 2011. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Into the Woods auditions set. Decatur Underground Theater is holding auditions for its November production of Into the Woods. Auditions are 6 to 8 p.m. Monday and Tuesday, July 9th and 10th at the Decatur Civic Center and Auditorium. Those auditioning should prepare a short song and will read from the script and learn short movement pieces. Police. Man chokes woman, crashes into squad car. Decatur. A Decatur man choked a woman in a bar parking lot, knocked her tooth out, and ended up crashing his vehicle into a police squad car after being shot with a stun gun as he tried to flee early Thursday, a sworn affidavit said. The 26-year-old man was booked into the Macon County Jail on preliminary charges of aggravated battery, aggravated assault, aggravated driving under the influence of alcohol, and obstructing a peace officer. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. Writing in the affidavit, Macon County Sheriff's Office Deputy S. L. Beck said he had been called to a fight in the parking lot of the Port Royal Gastro Pub at 2880 North Oakland Avenue at 12:50 a.m. Beck said that he arrived to find the man on top of the 32-year-old victim. When the man began walking away, Beck said he ordered him to stop. He did not comply. He got into a vehicle and was taken into custody after being tased and crashing into the MC-25 squad car, Beck said. The officer said he spoke to witnesses who said the man had punched and choked the woman. One bartender described the woman's face as turning blue while she was being choked. She said she tried to stop the attack but was pursued by the man and had to flee back inside the bar where she was protected by the bar's bouncer. Beck said he examined the victim and described her face and neck as being covered in fresh cuts and bruises. Her front tooth was busted out and was found lying on the pavement, Beck said. The man remained jailed Thursday night in lieu of posting $50,000 in bail. In national news, Pruitt resigns EPA post. Scandals have dogged administrator for months. Washington. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt resigned Thursday amid ethics investigations of outsized security spending, first-class flights, and a sweetheart condo lease. With Pruitt's departure, President Donald Trump loses an administrator many conservatives regarded as one of the more effective members of his cabinet. But Pruitt had also been dogged for months by scandals that spawned more than a dozen federal and congressional investigations. Talking to reporters on Air Force One, Trump continued to praise his scandal-plagued EPA chief, saying there was no final straw and he had not asked for Pruitt's resignation. Scott is a terrific guy, Trump said. He came to me and I have such great confidence in the administration, I don't want to be a distraction. He'll go and he'll do great things and have a wonderful life, I hope. Pruitt expressed no regrets. It is extremely difficult for me to cease serving you in this role because I count it a blessing to be serving you in any capacity, but also because of the transformative work that is occurring, Pruitt wrote. However, the unrelenting attacks on me personally, my family, are unprecedented and have taken a sizable toll on all of us. Pruitt, a Republican, had appeared Wednesday at a White House picnic for Independence Day wearing a red checkered shirt and loafers with gold trim. Trump gave him and other officials a brief shout-out, offering no sign of any immediate change in his job. EPA Deputy Administrator Andrew Wheeler, a former coal industry lobbyist, will take the helm as acting administrator starting Monday. I have no doubt that Andy will continue on with our great and lasting EPA agenda, Trump tweeted Thursday. Pruitt's resignation came days after two of his closest advisors spoke to House Oversight Committee investigators and revealed new, embarrassing details in ethics scandals involving Pruitt. Samantha Dravis, who recently resigned as Pruitt's policy chief, told investigators last week that Pruitt had made clear to her, before and after he came to the became the EPA administrator, that he would like the attorney general's job, held then by Jeff Sessions. Pruitt had hinted that some sort of conversation had taken place between he and the president, Dravis told congressional investigators, according to a transcript obtained Thursday by the AP. That was the position he originally was interested in. The former Oklahoma Attorney General, close to the oil and gas industry, Pruitt has filed more than a dozen lawsuits against the agency he was picked to lead. He arrived in Washington. He worked relentlessly to dismantle Obama-era environmental regulations and aimed to reduce toxic pollution and plant warming carbon emissions. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated July 6, 2018. And we'll take a short break and return with the second half hour. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.